violation. And it's one of the things now that these rights of nationhood that existed and the people that are here now, you know, like there are people saying, we didn't did it. We didn't do it. We weren't the ones. It was those people way back there. But it's continued now. It has had an impact. When we look at the numbers of people within North America, the difference in health, the difference in economic status, the numbers of people that are homeless, as people have interviewed some of the indigenous people who have been having prayer meetings, who've been having ceremonies to mourn the dead, asking them, what did they feel? It's that, yes, now there does have to be a reconciliation that, and so that, that nationhood, I think for we entitle and we feel that this nation belongs to us, us now, the present people. We're the people that may be the citizen card-carrying citizens of Canada, card-carrying citizens of America. We say with words, we acknowledge that our work occurs. Every place, you know, some people have said we need to just stop saying that, because to say we acknowledge that we are on the unceded territories of a particular people, but at the same time refuse to help rebalance what was taken away from the people who lived here before, it's not just, it's not proper. And things will continue to happen to bring about a lot of agony as the way that people perceive the nation. I mean, two nations I know about. I know about the nation of America. I know about the nation of Canada. I left the nation I'm still a citizen fighting for certain rights there. But it was because of conflicts between creed and reality. And the picture that I had and that many Black people had of Canada is, here's a place that lives according to its creed. It's a place offering freedom. It's a place offering all of these wonderful things. And now we're finding that, wow, there were 1,000 children. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg from looking at two residential homes. 1,000 children who were killed. 1,000 kids who died with their parents ever knowing what happened to them. 1,000 families who just don't know, don't have any connection to those children. And then the children who are in their 60s, 70s now who were in those schools and bringing up a fresh wave of grief. The hotlines have had a 292% increase in crisis with people having this emotional break because it's such a conflict between our creed and what we say and reality. So that's kind of my sense of nationhood is, yeah, we've got a nation, but if top of what was already a nation, then we can look at how do we go forward? How do we really make the reconciliation real so that we can be whole? And so that whatever forgiveness, whatever needs to be done, you know, let's look at what are we committed to do? What can we do to bring about this reconciliation and comfort? Because right now, I'm sure that all as, you know, news is going on, there's some people saying, oh, look at you, Canada. You said you were so great. Let's look at this. There are people mocking Canada. You know, China has asked the UN to look at trying Canada for, or investigating them for high crimes. So it's put us in a kind of a jelly position. And so when we do have this need to reconcile, what is our nation, this new nation, as it sits on top of other nations, what can we do to bring about peace? What can we do to bring about a wholeness? So I will stop talking because there are different points that people might have of how what other people said about their words, what you think about them, and what you think we can do going forward. Gail, you were shaking your head.
I'm sorry, Charlotte. I was listening to you very carefully, but I had to call, I had to answer a call of nature when you introduced your word. So your word is?
Nationhood.
nationhood. Well, I just find that very intriguing that, so would anybody whose grandfather committed crime be in the dock for committing that crime? No, that's not just, because I'm not my grandfather who did that horrible thing. And this is how a lot of Canadians think. But I do think we have to make restitution. Absolutely. And we're doing that by the Crown Indigenous Ministry, slowly but surely. And this is from the First Nations themselves, to give them autonomy. For instance, West Bank, I believe that West Bank is a First Nation. And there's all kind of, Okanagan. They've been a First Nation for a long time. They've done their own affairs, and they're fantastic. I remember in the 1990s and the early 90s, walking through the band office, and there was all these young guys at computers, and I went, "Whoa, this is cool!" And so, what the Okanagan do is they make it their mission to go around to other First Nations who want to get independence from the Indian Act. And show them how to do it. And they're fantastic people. And I've worked with them, et cetera, et cetera. And so what I think is that, no, I don't think that we should be hung up because John A. McDonald was drunk and a racist and passed a very cruel act, even for that time, right? That's not our fault. He was seen as the father of Canada, and I always disrespected him. I listened to my native friends. Should we be hung, drawn, and quartered? No. But what we should do is make restitution, not pour millions of dollars into whatever, but to help First Nations find out who these, find out if they have any bodies. And, you know, I've had a lot of respect for the Sisters of St. Anne. And I went, oh, God, this is happening in Sister St. Anne Residential School? Because I went to their retreats, and that they're very cool, radical people. And they were the first ones saying, yeah, we're going to make restitution. This is so gross, and this is what our sisters did 100 years ago, and that's not us. That's the point. The people who, of 100 years ago are not us. We've learned. And thank you very much for your word, Charlotte.
Having conversations, as we were talking and approaching different people about speaking, not only for Indigenous Heritage Month, but for Asian Heritage, each of the months that we've had, people have said they don't want to necessarily be come on to explain what people need to do, that we need to learn. What issues are among different communities and how the word that be an ally. We've had members of Quirky that are in our group and it is an organization where people participate around the issues of the day, but they will share information about members of the LGBTQ community, but that is not their only label in life. So I think welcoming people to take part in conversations, to have a meal, to be able to have a discussion. And again, when, as you said, it was my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, not me, so don't hang me for what he did. But at the same time, I'm looking at if my great-great-grandfather or grandmother did something that was hurtful or harmful to your people, what kinds of ways can I use the law? How can we, as people who take time to know the law, everyone who has got their full rights, or everyone who's able to operate with certain entitlements or privileges within Canada, when we observe that it's not being done for other people, whether it's here or worldwide, I think part of what we have a responsibility we have is to speak up for people, to join and give credence to their voices. Because if people say, oh, it's just those people protesting again next week, it's just the Black people, or it's just those Indians again, or it's just those people again, to not see people as those people, but to see that connecting the creed, that's one of the things I see about nationhood, having a creed that you say, the things that we say and hold to be truths. If these things are self-evident, how are we helping to make them really be self-evident? And speaking up when we see things, a few weeks ago, Brian, who was here, was talking about his experience in Chinatown. There are places where people who lived in a particular neighborhood, people with more money come in and they buy up the neighborhood, and then they put buildings there that the people who lived in that neighborhood can't afford to live in, and the people get shoved to the side. Well, having a voice, you mentioned, I think Nancy mentioned and someone else mentioned, taking part in polls and surveys and meetings that city council is having to find out, I think you also said that, Mario, find out what people want in terms of accessibility, that also we should look out and say, but what about the all of these people that were living in rooming houses that have been closed up and now are going to go on the street, and not looking then at the people on the street, and a great disproportionate number of the people on the street are people of color, handicapped people, and people who were the original inhabitants of this nation, and ask questions, why is this? Why aren't we providing? The part of the reason for the millions of dollars that are being asked for in reconciliation is people who lost access to their land now need proper housing, and some of that money needs to go into proper housing. There are too many people, you know, when they look at just the distribution of the COVID vaccinations, difficulty in setting up systems for getting things to people, that we need to really raise questions about, you know, the infrastructure, raise questions about why is it so hard for First Nations people or the original people that were on this country to not be able to get the same services, not get the same level of health care, that lending our voices, there are so many reports. There's the red, you know, there's a report about missing and murdered Indigenous women. There's a report about numbers of things that have been presented to legislative bodies, but it's only those people protesting. I think that that's where within nationhood and there within our spiritual beliefs or our beliefs as being better people, that one of the things is not making the people who have been taken advantage of be the only voices, be alone when they go to court, be alone when they go to counseling, or be alone when they are sitting in a medical center and somebody is mistreating them. So what do you think from, you know, the perspectives we have within our group, Mario, we have some people that are poets, some are writers. What are ways that you see that we could use those skills we have to help bring about a reality to the creed that this is a free country where everybody is welcome and everybody can, you know, grow and have a wonderful life? What are ways that we could use our talents to make that a reality?
Thank you. First, I would like to take exemption to what you said about the people in the disadvantaged area, because during the pandemic, the first thing that the government, the provincial government did was give priority to the people in downtown East Side for vaccination. They were the first ones who were given vaccination, and this is one of the things that made BC successful, is preventing this group of people from being infected with the illness. So that was a great issue that was addressed by the present medical Dr. Henry and the provincial government. So that is, I believe, one of the better things that the government has done for the homeless, the indigenous, and people of color, because as you have mentioned, these people in the downtown east side is composed of mostly by this mentioned group. I also would like to point out that we have a tendency to put people in pedestals, like we say, Canada is here and this is the model and we are supposed to be doing this, doing that. But putting people, governments or governments or countries in a pedestal, or putting people in a pedestal, will make these people so inaccessible. And what I mean by that is we put people in such a high state that nobody can live up to those ideals. So I like to commend Gail with what she said about why punish the great-great-great-grandchildren for the sins of their grandparents. So I think that is a valid observation. And instead of restitution by paying millions of dollars, as I mentioned before, what Gail has mentioned about making amendments, making amenities that would help these people, would probably a better way of spending our resources. And what does the great-great-grandchildren can do to make amendments? I believe participating, volunteering in these areas, because volunteering is one way of making life for seniors healthy aging. Volunteering is one of the ways for healthy aging, as most authors of the new healthy aging books have recommended. Volunteering and knowing, going to these areas and find out what is actually going on in there. There are people, groups, the East Indian community is very good in providing free meals Saturday and Sunday in these areas. So charities, societies probably should look up to these minority groups and say, what is working? What are these small churches doing? And because of my work in advocacy, I do visit it. This down the corner of Main and Hastings Street, and occasionally I will find individuals with huge containers of soup and plain bread ladling up these things, and I see trucks, little vans with pizza or some native or whatever food that they buy in bulk and distribute to these people. And I also work with different organizations to help communities. I'm an advocate for people living with disabilities whether it's transportation, public amenities, or whatever they need for advocates, I am there to give a voice from the point of view of people living with disabilities. I hope that answers your question. You're welcome to ask additional questions if you wish.
No, I think the advocacy is really needed. You know, their advocacy in the family court. We've had people who've discussed the fact that still some people are calling the foster care system the new residential school system, because a disproportionate number of Indigenous people's children get taken, and that they need advocates, sometimes mothers of not just within Indigenous people, but we've heard refugees. Last week we had a speaker who was a refugee, and it's something that happens when people are trying to get established. They might have children sleeping two to a bed, or they might be using pallets on a floor. The children aren't really at danger, but because a particular worker comes into the home and deems that they're not living at the same level as children in a middle class home, the children get taken. And so advocacy, that's one of the areas that we've heard people say that people need advocates when they go to court to help them keep their children. Okay, other thoughts, Nancy, what are you thinking?
Just digesting all of the conversation. I have great appreciation for the depth that Mario went into and Gail as well with some of the issues at hand. And advocacy definitely is always called for and needed. It's so easy to misunderstand things so quickly, and people jump to conclusions and perceptions and perspectives very quickly. And there can be so much emotion involved in something. So advocacy in terms of just making sure that everybody's heard, you know, heard clearly and understanding the situation and what's occurring, so there isn't, you know, any misunderstandings. And I had a deep appreciation for what Mario just said in terms of what he's seeing from charitable groups. You know, what are they doing? How are people being supported?
Thank you, Nancy. I want to expand on what Charlotte said about foster homes. I want to focus on that because that is one area that really sort of gets me is how come they are still taken away, and maybe we should make sure that these areas need a focus so that we can see why are the children being taken away, and maybe we could make amendments and maybe understanding British Columbia is one of the most diverse multicultural area in Canada because of the diversity of immigrants in Canada. So there are cultures that seem peculiar, whose customs may seem peculiar to the white people who administers this laws kind of thing. So probably what we call the cultural sensitivity training for those administrators is required. So this is part of the amendment or changes that needs to be done. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in here. For years now, First Nations have their advocates who go to family court with the mothers. And they have always called for, okay, if you're going to remove a child from a home, put him or her in a First Nations home. It'll be a lot better for them. And this business of two children sleeping in one bed, I shared a bed with my sister for years. Like, what's that? That's working class. That's totally working class. Like, hello. Middle class, this is all BS, this middle class bar that everybody's got to be middle class. Well, no, that's not the truth. And at least 50-60% are working class, and they're doing what they're doing and doing the best they can with for their families. And you know what I'll tell you, and I'm talking about my niece's kids. Her husband was no good, and so she finally kicked him out. But what happened is in that household, all the kids had part-time jobs. All the kids had cars. The typical working class household. And the same when I was teaching at St. Pat's. And I said, how many of you guys are working after school? Most of the hands went up, working class people. That's the reality, whereas middle class, well, you get to take all these fancy courses, but working class, you're making your pocket money. And I know because I grew up that way.
There is a song that we are going to just listen to, and Jesse, maybe you can tell us a bit about this particular artist.
Sure. We're going to hear a track by Night Sun, who is a Cree Métis artist who is originally from Alberta, but now lives here in the Lower Mainland. Her Cree name is Tiktikoff Sim. And she's done a bunch of stuff at CJSF, and the song is called One's Place.
out with time rate as humanity. History doesn't repeat as children living in different times. It's not the world, it's humanity that chooses not to believe in magic. The world still remembers, but humans can't stand it. How sad and tragic Mother Earth has come to be. She loves us all and would rather not to keep us free. But that is her duty that Creator made a promise to keep, so that we may stay eternal and have the land provide us with what we need. Yet like Mother Earth, femininity is abused. Human ego has separated itself from this beautiful truth. From this beautiful truth. From this beautiful truth. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Yes, spirit is both feminine. For this earth on which we presently stand. It's funny how life doesn't turn out as we initially planned. And now I understand I live in a way that is more than enough. I'm grateful for the fact that my journey is making me tough. But don't get me wrong, I'm not a bitch, I'm actually quite nice. Just don't be a dick, be a better you. Or I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. Yeah, I don't want any part of it. Once you tell the woman to know her place, will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell a woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. I believe in God, I believe she exists. This ain't just talk, but a neurological twist on my subconscious. I'd like to share all of my knowledge, cause these burdens aren't just mine to acknowledge. We are the bullish, focused on healing through our lyrics. It's our responsibility to uphold this. We are teachers as much as we are students. We are the seeds that grow to be what we wish to see in our community. You are the key, and this may sound crazy, but you create your own destiny. Your sense of self is the core of it all. Your free will proves that it's you that must make that call and rise above it. Learn to love it. Growth is an eternal struggle. Might as well learn to fund it. And don't worry, creator brings abundance. You will see, baby girl, it's all a part of life. Sacred dance. Of life, sacred dance. Of life, sacred dance. Dip Scalby Sim. Yeah. East Prairie. Treaty 8. Territory. Yeah. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell the woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space. Once you tell a woman to know her place, she will discover she is one with time and space.
Well, that was really a very interesting, in-depth, personal conversation of people's reactions to the sad news that we got this week of not only the 215 indigenous children's unmarked graves that were found, but almost 700 more, and the imperative for us to get to know how to prevent anything from that from happening again, and the imperative for us to be allies in looking to see that the right reconciliation is done. So as I usually end, I'll say I'll see you again next week at 10, and it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time.